Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program. I'm glad you could join us today. Today I'm beginning a series of messages that will accompany a new book that we're offering. The title of the book and the title of this series of messages, and this is the introduction, the title is, What is a Christian? What is a Christian? It's a biblical study of the one true faith. Because I believe that true Christianity is the one true faith, the only way of salvation. And this series of messages and this book is based upon what I call the command of God to His people to do what the Bible says to do. For example, in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Where the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthian church, he says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Faith there is a noun. In other words, it's sort of like saying, it could be saying, examine yourselves, test yourselves whether you be a true Christian. The faith here is the faith of Christianity. The doctrine, the body of belief that true Christians hold. And then he goes on to say, prove your own selves. That is, test your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. And that word reprobate means to be disqualified. In other words, if I claim to be a Christian, am I truly a Christian or am I fooling myself? And that's what this book is about. What is a Christian? If I claim to be a Christian, and I do, and if you claim to be a Christian, which many of you do, well, what is a Christian? What is the one true faith? And I urge you to order the book and eventually the series of messages on DVD or CD, and we offer it free of charge. So I think it would be worth your while. Now let me emphasize this too. No human book can even compare to this book right here, the Bible, the inspired, verbally inspired, inerrant Word of God. No human book is infallible. The Word of God is infallible. No human book can compare with the Bible, and certainly no human book can replace the Bible. So understand that when we offer you this book, we're not saying don't read your Bibles, don't consider... What this book is about is a companion to the Bible to guide you through the Scriptures, or some of the Scriptures, some of the main Scriptures, that define from the Bible what a true Christian is and what a true Christian is not. Now, certainly we would say a true Christian is a follower of Jesus Christ. But what does that mean? First of all, consider that the word Christian and the title Christian and Christianity has been so watered down and broadened today, and it's always been this way, really, since that name came down. But it's been so watered down and so broadened today that really most people don't understand what a Christian is and what a Christian is not. We hear that term on television all the time. Our political leaders use it. But do we really understand from the Bible what a Christian is? There's so many denominations that call themselves Christian. We're living in a day where false Christianity is rampant. And the Bible predicts this. The Lord predicted Himself. He said that in the last days there'd be people come and say, here's Christ or there's Christ. And He says, don't listen to them. They're deceivers. Satan is a deceptive devil. And one of his main tools is the deception of false Christianity. We hear the term antichrist or anti-Christian. And a lot of antichrist or anti-Christian spirit is those who come in the name of Christianity, but who deny the faith. You remember what Paul wrote up there, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. And this book, What is a Christian? A Biblical Study of the One True Faith, is part of a series of books that I've written, one other called What is Salvation? A Biblical Study of God's Greatest Gift. Do I claim to be saved? Am I truly saved? These books are intended to be guides through the Scripture, accompany the Bible to guide you through in your study in a process of self-examination. So consider this. Secondly, consider that all of this begs the question of what a true Christian is, and in essence, true Christianity, and underscore this, according to the Bible. You see, in this series of messages and in this book, I'm not really interested in what I personally believe about what a Christian is and what a Christian is not. I'm not really interested in what men and women say, what you say. I'm interested, and I hope you're interested, in what the Bible says a true Christian is. That's the issue. What does God's Word have? If I claim to be a Christian, what does this Word say? Now, if you don't claim to be a Christian, but maybe you're interested in finding out the realities of Christianity, this book would be good for you too, this series of messages. So ask the question, what then is a true Christian? You know, the name Christian and Christians, plural, is found three times in the Bible in the book of Acts. First, it's found in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, and it speaks of a man named Barnabas who went to find Paul. Acts 11, 26, it says, when he, that is Barnabas, who was a Christian, had found him, that is Paul, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. You know what? That's talking about the Christian church. And taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. That's where the name first is mentioned in the New Testament. And then again, it's found in Acts chapter 26, verse 28, where Paul was standing before King Agrippa. He was on trial, and Paul preached the gospel, the Christian gospel, the Christian good news. And it says, King Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. That's the second time the term Christian is used. And then over in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 16, the Apostle Peter was inspired by the Holy Spirit to use that term, Christian, concerning the suffering that believers in the Lord Jesus Christ would go through. And he says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Now that term Christian, three times. What does all of this teach us? As you go through the New Testament, as you go through the Bible, what does it teach us about Christian? Well, first of all, as I mentioned before, a Christian is one who trusts and follows the Lord Jesus Christ for all salvation, and who follows the teachings of Jesus Christ. So in other words, a Christian is one who not only follows the teachings of Christ, I want to emphasize that, he does, he or she does, but a Christian is one who trusts Christ, believes in Christ, rests in Christ for all salvation. In other words, if I'm a Christian, I believe that all of my salvation is conditioned on this person, the Lord Jesus Christ, and Him alone. And I follow Him, I trust Him, I love Him, I follow His teachings. That's what a Christian is. A Christian is a sinner saved by the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what a Christian is. A Christian is not some kind of a special person who rises above the mass of humanity because of their own goodness or their own power or their own will. No, sir. A Christian is a sinner saved by the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. In this book, I'll deal later on with the issue of a saint. You know, most people think of a saint as being somebody who's like a super Christian or a special Christian or a Christian who has gone above and beyond the call of duty. Do you know that every true Christian is a saint? Sanctified, set apart by God, by God's grace, by God's mercy. They are considered before God to be righteous in God's sight, but their righteousness that they have before God is not their own in the sense of saying, well, they worked for it or they earned it or they believed into it. No, sir. The righteousness that they have before God is the merit, the value of the work of Jesus Christ for them as their substitute and surety. And I go into all of those things in the book. But here's what I want to emphasize. A Christian is a sinner saved not by their works, not by their will, but by the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's who he came to save. He didn't come to save good people. You know, there are no good people in this world according to the Bible. In the book of Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, when the angel was was telling Joseph about Mary's child and how he should not put Mary away or be ashamed of her because the child that was conceived in her womb was conceived by the Holy Ghost. And it says, you shall call his name Jesus, Matthew 1:21, for he shall save his people from their sins. Christ, Jesus Christ, is the Savior of sinners. What does he save his people from? He saves them from sin. What is sin? Sin is the fact that we all by nature miss the mark of goodness, of holiness, of righteousness. We quote that verse all the time. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It means we miss the mark, even the best of us. So salvation is for sinners. The Bible also tells us throughout that salvation is by grace, not by our works. Ephesians 2:8, it says, for by grace are you saved, through faith. That is, you're saved by grace, by means of faith. And verse 9 says, and that not of yourselves, even that faith is not of yourself. My friend, we by nature are born spiritually dead. We fell in Adam, and we're born spiritually dead. We don't have the spark of goodness or a spark of goodwill or faith within ourselves. If we have faith, it's the gift of God. Verse 9 of Ephesians 2, and that not of yourselves, it, faith, is the gift of God. Salvation is the gift of God. That means you didn't earn it, you don't deserve it. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. So think about that. Salvation is by grace. Now, since a Christian is one who follows the teachings of Jesus Christ, and since Jesus Christ claimed to be the one and only way of salvation, then we can rightly conclude the following. And I want you to think about these things. A Christian believes that Jesus Christ is the only, the one and only way of salvation. Now, you cannot be a true Christian, according to the Bible now, and believe there are other ways of salvation. And you'll hear some popular preachers today who will deny this truth. They'll talk about there are many ways to God. You can be a Buddhist and you can be a Hindu. You can be a Muslim. You can be whatever you choose to be. And if that's your way to God and you do your best and you pray and if you're sincere, then you can get to heaven. Now, that sounds good to the natural mind. That sounds loving and kind and tolerant to the world. But it is anti-Christian. The Lord Himself, in the book of John chapter 14 and verse 6, he made this statement to his disciples. It says, Jesus said unto him, that is unto Peter and the disciples, he said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In other words, if you're going to be able to call God your heavenly Father, be accepted with God, be justified before God, that means to be not guilty, to be righteous before God, there's but one way. And that one way is Jesus Christ crucified and raised from the dead. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Now we know that a Christian is one who believes in the death, burial, and Jesus Christ. Not just the historical fact of those things, but what those things actually accomplished. What did Christ actually accomplish? Peter, I believe it was, stood in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, and he made this statement. He said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now the problem, in other words, if you're going to be saved, Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. You cannot be a Christian according to the Bible and believe otherwise. If you say, well, I believe there's people in all religions going to be in heaven, you need to understand you're not speaking a Christian truth there. You're not following the teachings of Jesus Christ because He taught that He's the only way. The one way. Listen to it. The Bible teaches us that as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. That's Romans 5:21. You see, if in order to be saved, in order to go to heaven, a sinner must have righteousness. We don't have it in and of ourselves. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Where can I, a sinner, find righteousness? Well, I can't find it in Buddha. Now, Buddha, he taught his way of salvation, the Eightfold Path, but he never claimed to be the way of salvation. And besides, the Eightfold Path is a way of works salvation. Can you work your way to salvation? Christianity says no. All other religions say yes. Can you work your way to righteousness? The Bible says in Romans 10 and verse 4, Christ is the end of the law, the finishing of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. There's no other way to righteousness. If I'm going to find righteousness, there's one way. Jesus Christ crucified and raised from the dead. No other way. Now, today's atmosphere, modern philosophy, modern socialism, modern theology is wrapped up in what I call, pluralism and relativism. Pluralism. There's all kinds of different ways and they're all right, you see. I even heard one man who claims to be a Christian who made this statement. He said, Christ, Jesus is the only way to heaven, but there are many ways to Jesus Christ. Now, what he's talking about there is the number of denominations. And my friend, pluralism, there's so many different ideas and views, even of Christianity. Relativism, what is relativism? Well, that says that there's no absolute truth. You've got your way, I've got my way, and they're all right. Somebody says, well, there are many ways to Jesus Christ and they're all right. No, they're not. Not according to the Bible. Do we have any standard by which to determine the truth of Christianity? Well, it all really boils down to this. And this is what self-examination is all about. Number one, can we prove from the Bible that we are true Christians? Now again, go back. Do you claim to be a Christian? Whatever denomination you are, can you prove it from the Bible? And then secondly, and here's the key, are we willing to put this matter to the test of Holy Scripture? Are you willing to lay your faith on the line and have it challenged? You should be. According to the Bible, if we claim to be a Christian, not only should we be willing to test our claim with the truths of the Bible, but we should be eager to do so. Now, God's Word, as I said before, and that's our text today, 2 Corinthians 13:5, encourages us to do that, to examine ourselves. Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Put it to the test. Test yourself. Know you not your own selves? The only way that I can know myself is as I read God's Word. This is the only true reflection or view of myself. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Jeremiah chapter 17 that the heart's deceitful. The heart, the natural heart, the unregenerate heart, the person who's not been born again. You know, the Bible teaches us that we fell in Adam. We were ruined by the fall. The only way of salvation is to be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's His righteousness. His righteousness imputed, charged. My sins imputed, charged to Him. His righteousness to me. If He died for me, you see, and then regenerated by the Holy Spirit, born again by the Holy Spirit. The unregenerate heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know? The only way I can know myself is right here in this book. God tells me. So prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you except you be reprobates. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Be ready. Would you not agree that it's for our eternal good that we put our claim to the test now? Consider those I mentioned before of whom the Lord spoke in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7:21, when He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He said in verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What was the problem? Well, these men, and whoever they were, stood before Christ at the judgment, claiming to be Christian. You remember they said, Lord, Lord, have we not preached in your name? How many people do we know who claim to be preaching in the name of Jesus Christ? They claim to be Christian. And He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, just because you claim to be a Christian, just because you claim to be preaching in His name, does not necessarily mean that's true. Well, somebody says, well, can I know for sure if I'm preaching in His name, witnessing in His name? You know what His name is, don't you? You say, well, His name is Jesus. Well, His name is that which identifies and distinguishes Him from all counterfeits. And the only way we can know His name is to read the Bible. What does the Bible say about Jesus Christ? Well, He's God in human flesh. Now, we're going to be talking about that in this series of messages, and I've got a lot written in the book. What is a Christian about that? Who is Jesus Christ? He's God-man, the Word made flesh dwelling among us. What did He accomplish on the cross? Did He die to make sinners savable? Did He die to make it possible for you to be saved if you would do your part? Absolutely not. That's false Christianity. Jesus Christ, God in human flesh, died on the cross as the substitute and the surety of His people, God's elect, given Him before the foundation of the world. This is what the Bible says now. One of the identifications of a true Christian in the Bible is the elect of God. I'll show you that. He died to secure their salvation. Their sins were imputed, charged, accounted to Him, and He died under that debt of sin, guilty for their sins charged to Him, and He drank damnation dry. He paid their debt in full. And in doing that, He established the only righteousness whereby they can stand before holy God and be justified, accepted, blessed, saved. That's who he is and that's what he did. He secured the salvation of his sheep. That's another identification of Christians in the Bible. He secured their whole salvation unto eternal glory in heaven. And so those who stand before him say, well, we've done this. We haven't done that. We've done this. If you think that that makes up your righteousness before God, you're not a true Christian. You see, my righteousness before God has nothing to do with what I've done for him, what I've decided for him. It has everything to do in what he did for me on the cross. My righteousness is his blood. My righteousness is his death. His righteousness imputed, charged, accounted to me. And so when the Lord stood before those men as the judge and heard them say, haven't we preached in your name? Haven't we cast out demons? Haven't we done many wonderful works? To hear him say, I never knew you, depart from me, you that work iniquity. He calls those things iniquity. Why were they iniquity? What is iniquity? It means it didn't balance out. It wasn't equaled out to righteousness. You see, God is so holy. He must be just when he justifies. He must be a just God and a Savior. That's the heart of true Christianity. How can he do that? You see, the moment that we say that God forgives sin, the moment we say that God saves sinners, we have a problem. How can we answer that? How can a holy and just God who must judge according to truth, who must punish sin, how can he do that? The answer is found in the Christian gospel. And that is Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's by God's grace based on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And that's what true Christians believe. Now, I want you to take, if you order this book, take your Bibles and go through and read these things and study them and examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.